Yo, everybody, what's going on?
Twitch chat. Wow.
Welcome to episode 14 of Unfiltered. I'm your host, Chan Man V. And today, topics, we got a lot of topics today. We're going to talk about Evo, talk about gaming communities, cross-pollinating, playing nice, Superstar Strikers Cup wrap-up. We're going to talk about the U.S. government recognizing LoL pro gamers as athletes and whether that's a good or a bad thing. Talk a little bit about Mobile Fire.
Thing. What?
We're just talking about it, okay? MOBA Fire's Challenge Series and how it's a good, great place for non-LCS teams and whether we should see that in StarCraft 2 and that sort of thing. And last but not least, the Steam Summer Sale. I kind of want to hear what you guys would recommend buying and, you know, what kind of games to recommend buying, because there's so many good deals right now. I just don't know which one to actually pull the trigger on. So it'll be great to get your opinions on that. But joining me today is, you know, the one, the only, the dynamic Destiny. What's going on, Steven?
What's up?
And since we had so much fun with him last week, I thought it'd be great to have him on again. Mr. Liquid Chef.
Hey.
How's it going? So how's the league been today? I saw you guys playing a little bit earlier.
Pretty good. Pretty relaxing.
Steven, relaxing.
Chill games, pub stomping.
Oh, that's good. That's good. What character are you playing these days, Chef?
Me, just whatever, any sort of support role. And then Destiny just kills everything, and I just try and keep him alive to kill stuff.
The Draven train. Good stuff. So, Steven, you look like you're at a different place. Where are you at, man?
I'm staying in Virginia right now for a month or two. My girlfriend.
Okay. Good deal. It's much brighter in that room, so.
Sure.
It's definitely good for the camera. Well, the Twitch chat, guys, is not working, as you can see, so I'd recommend having the show up and probably Destiny's chat up at the same time so that we can see what you guys are saying.
I like that idea.
Yeah. Thank goodness for Destiny.gg.
Oh, shit.
All right, let me actually get this pop-out chat. There we go. Nothing like saying I love the thick cock when I bring it up, too. God, I love it. All right. So those of you that don't know what we're talking about, if you go to Destiny.gg right now, they have a separate chat channel there that we can...
I'll be back in a second, okay? I'm also making a food request for Aaron Lewis, okay?
Okay,
so
sounds good.
Like in and out for like next time.
Sounds good. Go. But yeah, so Destiny.gg has its own separate chat that's not the Twitch chat, which we'll be able to use at least until Twitch gets our, or at least my chat channel going.
Yeah.
So I can see everybody is spamming it already with that. Is that actually an emoticon? Or I mean, how are they getting this?
Yeah, it's an emoticon.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Great
emoticon. I think it's for picnic. Not 100% sure.
Picnic?
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, God, that's awesome.
There's a cat.
Yay.
All right, time back.
Azrael. All right, what? So I figured we'd start off with a little bit of news of just about events over the weekend. Started off with Evo. I don't know if you guys are into the whole fighting game community, but did you get a chance to watch Evo at all?
I watched a little bit. They're getting a lot of viewers, man.
Dude, no kidding, man. Like, I think when I turned it on, it was like 140k or something watching Marvel vs. Capcom.
I know what game I'm switching to, damn.
You know, what cracks me up is that, I mean, it was amazing to see just all those people watching, just the crowd. It was amazing.
It's really interesting, too, because there's, like, I don't think there's much of a stream community for those games, is there?
I don't think so.
No,
I could be wrong. It's not too small.
I mean, like, just go look. Like, right now, is anybody streaming those games, or?
I don't, let me see. It's never been big, so this, I think Evo has been remarkable.
Minecraft's ahead of StarCraft.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
Oh hey, we're not doing that right now, Chef. Come on, buddy. Why are there so many people playing Half-Life? Why are there so many viewers for Half-Life 2 right now?
For Half-Life 2?
Oh, someone's playing
like
one marathon.
Person.
Yeah, so I mean, if you look down here, I don't even see a fighting game listed. But that could be just Twitch not listing it.
I mean, regardless, it's still below 1,500 viewers.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I'm gonna.
Yeah, that's it. It's interesting to see something that has a relatively small streaming viewership community,
mm-hmm.
pulling that many viewers on Twitch and off. curious how many people that watched, like, our League of Legends or StarCraft fans, how many are just watching because they're only, like, Evo, or people that follow the fighting game scene, you know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people were promoting it, like, you know, like Wheat and all those guys, you know, that follow Evo also.
But,
you know, a lot of it has to do with a lot of people just jumping on the train, you know, just the popular train, too. When they see a stream that's got, like, 50, 60, 70,000 viewers, they want to see what's going on, right? And it just kind of doubles from there. But pretty amazing seeing it. Like, I love seeing just the two guys sitting in a chair with their fighting sticks in their lap. And I mean, I never see actually what they're looking at, but I figure it's just like a normal TV I have in my den that they're fighting on with a big, you know, blown up on the screen. It's
it wasn't huge. It was just like a TV.
And oh, really, God, that's crazy. Cool. I mean, I don't know what they could do, but it just looks so. I don't know. Like, we, you know, we have booths now, right? In StarCraft 2 and in League of Legends. So I wonder what they could do to make it look better. Because I feel like it just looks so, I don't know, low production.
It looked like a grassroots production because I guess it was, right? Like,
yeah.
It was almost canceled last minute. So it was canceled last minute and went back. And...
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
Yeah, I remember was it the week before? During MLG, the CEO was going on. You know, the Alex Jebele's event in Orlando, and they actually put up like a boxing ring or a mini boxing ring that they all sat in and played in. So I thought that was kind of cool, but yeah. So hopefully, you know, one of these days they'll do something cool where they can sit and they're not literally not just like rubbing elbows together playing. It's like the weirdest thing. But no, it was great, really great for the fighting game community seeing just that many people watching live and as well as on stream. I mean, like, I think I saw the numbers. It was, what, 1.7 million viewers on Twitch? It's crazy overall on the weekend. And then it looks like 144,000 for Marvel Capcom 3 and then 134,000 for Super Smash Bros. Melee. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, I watched the finals for that. I guess the guy who took first place might have lost one of the really, really early rounds and had to go through, like, the entire loser bracket to come and just win the final really convincingly. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see. Where is Steve? Steven's camera's, like, all blurry, too, when he's going. It's kind of interesting.
He's going to play some Smash Brothers, man.
I know, seriously. I haven't played Smash Brothers in forever. I mean, I played Street Fighter not too long ago, and it was... Oh my gosh, it was crazy. I was playing on my DS, my 3DS though, and they make it super easy now. You can push these giant touch buttons now to do all the combos, and it's kind of lame. You know, remember the days where you had to do every, you know, just you had to do all the moves like simultaneously, and it was so hard to do. But I think all those guys that are playing in the tournaments are obviously doing old school. But yeah, so when's the last time you played a fighter?
Long time ago. Probably Smash Brothers at a friend's house 2 years ago, maybe.
Okay, good deal. Mm-hmm. Well, while we're waiting on Steven, I just got something from Derek at One Nation of Gamers. He's announcing an eBay esports charity invitational with Evil Geniuses and Team
Curse. Where is it?
And Root for Root. It's ebaycharity.gg. Check this out. Okay,
hi.
Wow, let's take a look at this.
Can I read it in Katz's voice?
Yeah, read it in Katz's
voice. Hi, awesome news. No, that's just, I don't have a good Hispanic voice, but I'll just keep reading it in my own voice. Onog, in collaboration with Evil Geniuses, Curse and Root are engaged in a promotion with eBay. As you can possibly imagine, this gigantic for esports, bigger brands are taking interest in our industry, and we're extremely happy to be a part of this growing process. And what's even better this time around is for charity. The basic aim of the campaign is to help eBay promote two great tools. My gadgets allow you to figure out how much your electronics are worth. You can easily figure out the current market value of your smartphone, for example. Second tool is improved and easier listing process to sell items on eBay. Blah, 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 blah. Working together with esports, including SC2, Dota, LoL, and fighting games. Will feature tournaments. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah. We were just talking about, Steven, we were just talking about One Nation of a Gamer is just announcing a eBay charity invitational with EG, who is it? EG, Root, Team Curse, and I think that's it, right?
Cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. eBay being involved is pretty neat. I actually know some people at eBay. I was thinking about a long time talking to people about esports at eBay, but it's cool that these guys have already done it.
They copied Destiny, GG. Made eBay charity, GG.
Uh-oh. Pizza, GG. Destiny, GG. eBay, GG.
Yep. You only have to get $5,000 worth of charity, though.
Yeah. I wonder what charity does it go to? Let's see. Is it going to that one charity, Steven? That one charity that we were talking about week or two ago? Oh, God. Was that last week? That was last week we talked about that, right? Oh, my gosh.
I don't think we did one last week, did we?
Did we?
I think we skipped last week because you were slacking.
No, we didn't skip. Dude, Shep was on last week.
Were you on last week, Shep? Was it the week before?
It was last week, man.
Look in the call history.
It's last week. I promise you. It's last week. God. So they auction off... Okay, these just these signed items. Okay. Huh. All right, check that out, guys. And there's also an event, too. And it looks like they have some brackets up on... I don't see the StarCraft 2 part of it. It looks like just the League part of it.
Yeah, I think there's only a League part.
Oh, that's lame. So how's Root involved, then? Does Root have a League team?
Yeah, they do, dude.
Dude? Really? I didn't know that.
We haven't eaten us yet, but me and Shep are playing for him. It's gonna be me, Shep, QXC.
No, it's you, Shep, Kiwi Cocky, and
we're bringing Idra.
And Drew.
Yeah.
Just because. Why not?
You're just gonna be our jungler.
Yeah.
Jungler. Good stuff. Alright, so let's see, where are we? Moving on. I guess we're done with Evo, unless you want to say something about Evo. Steven.
No, cool for them if they got a lot of viewers. That's sick shit. That's pretty much it.
Alright, good deal, good deal.
Good on Nintendo for reversing their idiotic idea that they weren't going to let Evo stream the Nintendo games.
Oh,
it's good they changed that.
Which games would it have been?
Super Smash Bros.
I mean, Super Smash Bros. But is there any others, though, besides Super Smash?
But I know that Super Smash Bros. Got like 150,000 viewers, didn't it?
Yeah, one of the big ones.
That's a super old game.
It's pretty crazy to think that could have never happened if Nintendo didn't let them stream it, you know?
Yeah. Hopefully it has some kind of impact with them, knowing that.
Maybe, I don't know.
Okay, next up. Actually, let me just sum up the events over the weekend real quick, just with the Super Star Strikers Cup that I did, and it went really, really well. I think we had more viewers than the last one by just maybe 1,000 or 2,000, so it's great. But Kings of Tin,
how many did you have all together?
Somewhere like 14,000 or something like that.
Nice job.
Yeah, just all together. And Kings of Tin made it look easy, though. They won really easily because I think the other teams just didn't get a chance to practice as much as they did last time. So that team was just dominating. They ended up winning. But overall, went really well. The trash-talking portion
Kings of Ten, is that DJ Weed and friends?
Yeah. DJ Weed, Wax Stevens, and then the Kaoken Titanium.
I figured they just buy those two players out.
Weed does give them incentive. I'll just leave it at that. He does give them incentive.
Have to turn to Mercs for star-striking?
Hey, man.
Disgusting.
No fair play in this world.
Yeah, exactly.
What's it coming to?
No, but one person in the Reddit thread is asking, "Well, Steven, why didn't Steven participate in this last Star Strikers Cup?" So, I'm going to put you on the spot. I asked you, so why didn't you participate?
Personally, I just don't like supporting Shaman Productions. I'm a big America only work kind of thing, and when I see you foreigners coming over and stealing our jobs and shit, I'm not big on that.
Oh my god. I am a born American citizen, dude. none of that, man.
I have so many things on my plate right now. I can't even keep up with what I currently have, man. I don't have time to do Star Strikers, too.
Yeah, dude, but you could... Dude, Star Strikers got a huge viewing audience, man. You could gain, like, a good 1,000 viewers. 14,000 viewers, man, right there.
Damn, dude.
But, yeah, so anyways, successful event. I will do another one. Probably not next month, maybe sometime in September, just to give a little bit of leeway. And Sean, I'd love, I mean, or Shep, it'd be great if you played. It's not a, it, on the hands, it's no different than League, honestly. It's about the same. So
I'll test it out.
Yeah,
see.
Maybe check it out sometime.
Did you guys do you have like a prize pool for it or anything, or is it just like for fun?
It's for fun right now. Just mostly for fun. I do send out trophies, and your name gets plastered all over the Superstar Strikers loading.
If there's a trophy involved, that's not for fun, man. Like
a physical trophy? Like,
yeah,
actually...
it's a physical trophy.
Really?
Yeah, for each of them. Cool. I send them out.
What, like, how big?
I don't know, like this big. Like,
I don't have you on the screen.
Oh, yeah,
you know
yeah.
What would
like,
be
like,
adorable?
Like,
is if you got your kids to do like an arts and crafts project and make the trophies.
Oh, my God.
I would play my heart out. I would play my heart out for Star Strikers if that happened.
All right, if I get my kids to make a trophy, you're going to participate in Super Star Strikers Cup 2? 3?
Would make me heavily lean towards wanting to.
Oh, God, you're so lame. You're so lame. But so anyways, Super Star Strikers Cup 3, look for that. And, yeah, support Star Strikers. And it's a fun game, fun UMS in StarCraft 2. Okay, moving on. Going to talk about communities making peace recently, and kind of comes off of some of the threads that Axeltos has been posting lately in r/League of Legends, as well as TL and r/StarCraft, and it has a lot to do with, I guess, making peace between the communities. And I think he even presents some ideas, like having some players in League coach StarCraft 2 people in how to play League, and then vice versa, and that sort of thing. What do you guys think of that initiative by him? And I think Husky posted something today that was a video of Nerdy Nummies. I think Ro made a Teemo cake or cupcake or something like that. What do you guys think of that?
Have you ever seen every single movie ever that has to do with some kind of black person who's fucked by society, and then they overcome it at the end of the movie? Like, say, like, did you see 42 with Jackie Robinson, all that?
Mm.
Or
I haven't seen it yet, Ben.
Or did you see, like, Remember the Titans?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
My wife loves
it. You know how, like, at the end of all of those movies, it's like, hooray, racism is over. Not really.
What?
You see where I'm getting at yet?
I get it completely.
Okay. Yeah, the animosity that exists between the StarCraft and the League community, I don't think is ever going to go away, because the community is made up of real life living human people who are fucking retarded, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. The thought was nice, though. I mean, it's cool that he's doing it, and anybody that he does convert is nice, but...
Well, I mean, is he trying to convert anybody? I mean, that's the thing. I don't know if he's necessarily trying to convert as much as it's...
He's just trying to find coaching for League for himself in exchange for StarCraft coaching. Like, that was his initial idea behind it. Like,
I think Axeltos is a great guy who is, like, a little bit younger, I think. Yeah, he was born in 1990. He's only 23.
Yeah,
he's just a wee lad, right, compared to us, for sure. So Axeltos is under the mistaken impression that if he gets together and he shows StarCraft kids that League can be fun, and he shows League kids that StarCraft can be fun, he thinks that people will actually look at that and go, hey, maybe we shouldn't, like, bash communities anymore because it makes us look like autistic man children, and it's really stupid. And... yeah, but unfortunately, I don't think that'll happen. But I applaud him for the effort.
I mean, how bad is it now? Like, of course, you know, a year ago, it was, like, at its probably all-time worst. But right now, how bad is it from the standpoint of League towards SE2?
League people don't give a fuck about SE2.
I know, that's kind of what
yeah,
I...
Yeah, they don't give a fuck. But the,
Did you see Idra's, like, retraction post where he, like, apologized to League?
Yes, I saw that.
Did you see it, Destiny?
No, what?
Look at the actual toss thread. Well, he quotes it. He actually put it in the original post, like, at the end.
He actually put it
in the, here, I'll show it to you. I'll show the viewers.
Link it in Skype, too, so I can see it again.
Okay. Well, it's in the original post now, so just go to the... It's at the bottom, I think, of the original post.
Adrian quote.
Yeah. Those of you, I don't know, can't read it for whatever reason, he basically just says that League of Legends is a much more respectable game than I guess he originally thought. I mean, I guess it's the TLDR. And then we need to get off our high horse.
How cute.
But yeah, so yeah, so I, that's the same perception I have, is that the league folks don't have much of any animosity, I think, towards SE2. At least I can tell. It's always been more the other way around, just SE2 community having just more of a, I guess, a highbrow attitude towards League of Legends because of the different types of skill involved. So I'll just leave it at that.
I think it's just League has all the cards. Like, StarCraft people can complain a lot and bring up all these points about, well, StarCraft requires so much APM, the Korean players in StarCraft are doing so much more than the League players. But then League can just be like, well, why do we have so many times more viewers? And then the StarCraft people have to be like,
Don't tell me what to do, motherfucker.
The problem is that
League of Legends is kind of like Barack Obama, and StarCraft 2 is kind of like Hillary Clinton. So
what?
Did you ever follow the 2008 elections in the United States?
Yes.
Okay, so 2006 onward, it was pretty much Bush had completely and totally annihilated all support for the Republican Party, right? But there was no way that a Republican was going to win the 2008 election. It just, no matter who was nominated, even the crazy attempt at nominating Sarah Palin to capture the people that would vote for a female, whatever, like, was stupid. You know, even McCain reaching across the aisle and trying to pander so much to both sides, like, there is just absolutely no way that a Republican was going to win the 2008 election. It was never going to happen after 8 years of Bush. So all of this time, from 2004 onwards, Hillary Clinton had pretty much positioned herself to be the Democratic candidate for the United States. Like everybody just kind of knew it was going to be Hillary. Hillary's going to be the president in 2008. The Clintons are going to be back in the White House. It was just like, it was pretty much accepted fact that if you asked anybody in 2007, and even in 2008, like, who's going to be president, it's going to be Hillary Clinton. And out of nowhere, Barack Obama kind of came, got tremendous fucking support, and pretty much stole the election from Clinton, because I don't think anybody knew who Obama was in 2007, and even in early 2008 when the primary started, right?
Yeah, it was the Iowa
caucus.
That was huge. Yeah.
There was this huge buildup. All of the cogs were in place for a Democrat to be in the White House in 2008, and Hillary was positioned to be there, but she came up short, and Obama came out of nowhere. So understandably, everybody that was a Hillary supporter was toxic and vile as fuck towards Obama supporters. That was a really rough primary for the Democrats. If you remember the shit-slinging that went back and forth between Hillary and Obama, holy shit. So that's kind of how StarCraft 2 and League played out, such that StarCraft 2 is ready to be this huge fucking esports brood war, kind of like Bush had set things up such that esports were going to be pretty big coming up, right? Because brood war was huge, there was a huge following after it, and StarCraft 2, like Hillary Clinton, was ready to be that esport in 2011, 2012, 2013, and then Obama, which is League of Legends, kind of came out of nowhere, and it was damn, and then all the StarCraft 2 people / Hillary fans are butthurt as fuck.
I'll change it up a little bit. I want to say, like, in this analogy, Hillary even, like, was president for a year, and, like, she's supposed to have a 4-year term, and then just, like, she just, like, gets evicted for no reason. And, like, we want Obama now. And then that's the end of it.
That's... Wow. Connecting politics and
there
esports.
We go.
Good stuff here.
Try to do a little bit of everything here. honestly, like, that's pretty much how it was. StarCraft 2 kids came from Brood War, and Brood War was... Regardless of whether or not you hate it or love it or blah, 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 Brood War was pretty much the definitive esport. Other games were kind of big, Counter-Strike and fucking Quake,
yeah.
I guess, had their events, but Brood War was pretty much the definitive esport. Nothing topped Brood War's height of popularity in Korea. And, I mean, when you have that as your predecessor, why would you expect anything less? Which is, you know, when StarCraft 2 came from. StarCraft 2 came from Brood War, which was the definitive esport in the entire world. So to not take its place, and then to see a genre of game come along that you consider inferior take its place can be really frustrating, I think. I mean, it shouldn't be frustrating, but it was for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, I think that's kind of where we are right now, right? Which is the point of what Axel's trying to do, right? It's just kind of get our community to be nicer to them.
It doesn't work that way. Like I said, because I'm the fucking Nostradamus of this shit. No, not really, because, I mean, most people agree with me. It was Blizzard's imperative to make sure that things got off on the right foot, and they didn't, and they fucked up. And Blizzard is not the kind of company that can be managing an esport. They're just not. They don't care enough about the scene anymore, and they don't have the they don't have the common sense, I guess, to manage it, because other companies have come along with way less financial capital and backing and experience as Blizzard, and they've done it 20 times better. So it's like, I mean, I don't know, I just think Blizzard is the kind of company that can... And I mean, if you look at Brood War, I mean, it kind of points to that, too. Like, could you really say that Blizzard was the reason why Brood War was as big as it was? Like, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's Warcast, but...
Yeah, no, Blizzard didn't do shit for Brood War. You know, Brood War was all of the endemic organizations within Korea that got that shit rolling and got that shit so insanely popular. And more or less, it's kind of what had to happen for StarCraft II, except we weren't even given a kind of the best game to work with, because the user interface and everything was so fucked in early Wings of Liberty that it turned a lot of people off immediately, you know? So other companies saw the potential. Other companies like Valve and Riot and even the World of Tanks people, like, came along and are trying to build their own shit, and they're doing it in such reactive, community-oriented ways that Blizzard just can't really keep up these days, whether because they don't want to or because they're unable to, I'm not sure, but it's kind of how it's going right now, in my opinion.
As much as I, like, completely agree with all of that, I just want to say that I do think that all the people who work for Blizzard, like, individuals, like, maybe this cloaking... And a few of these other guys, like David Kim, like they try their best.
Just
the Blizzard entire, like, entity that is Blizzard just can't do it.
I mean, it's huge.
Feel bad for those.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a company that has, you know, that's had a huge amount of success the last 15 years, right? Maybe even longer, 20 years. Probably 20 years, yeah.
Sure.
And they have all these marquee titles, and it's always been about just game development and nothing else. So... You know, comparing them to Riot, or comparing, like, how fast things get done compared to those other companies is, you know, not completely fair, because, like, the design of the game was, for a lot of these games that we're talking about right now, I mean, esports is already
fine. I think it's fair. I think that it's easy as a fan and as a layman to kind of sit back and say, like, well, promoting games is really hard, or doing that kind of stuff is really hard. But when you're, like, a AAA multi-billion dollar company with Activision, I'm not sure how big Activision is, it's kind of your job to figure that stuff out and to kind of move forward. Like, the Battle.net interface that we got launched at Wings of Liberty, that wasn't acceptable in any universe. It wasn't acceptable. And it was something they could only get away with because they were... Like, if StarCraft II was launched as any other game, like, if they just called it, like, fucking Warcraft in space, or, you know, if they didn't call it StarCraft II, would it have had anywhere near the success as it was because it was the successor to Brood War? Like, you know?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
It definitely wouldn't have. You know, people would have picked... Like, we had to fight them for chat rooms, you know? Like... There's too much. I'm not comfortable with the cop out that, well, Riot is a different company or blah blah blah. Like, Blizzard has everything that they need to do in order to get something like that off the ground. You know, fuck. Like, after 6 months, Blizzard could have fired their entire esports division, and they should have just hired like 20 people from the community at a fifth of the wage, and they could have gotten something way better off the ground. Can you imagine, like, Day9 and Husky and even, like, fucking Xeris?
I have no idea why they didn't hire those guys.
Yeah. Could you imagine them working the esports division for, like, Blizzard? Like, it would have been perfect.
How is Day9 not a Blizzard employee? Like...
Yeah. I don't know. I just think... I mean, obviously, it's easy to say it. Actually, I'm not even going to say it's easy to say now, because I was talking about this shit for a long fucking time, but, you know, like, there's just so many problems, man. Ugh.
I think you're right in a lot of those things you're saying, and, you know, recently they've been trying to kind of catch up, right? Just with a lot of things they're doing. So, do you think it's possible for them to catch up at this point? I mean, I just saw that Frank Fields left, which kind of sucks, because I always thought Frank Fields was a pretty good guy to have there in their esports.
Hey, wasn't Frank part of, like,
he was part of IPL. He came over with that whole IPL thing.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess. I don't even know how much Frank did for IPL, but
he was a pretty big part of it. Like, a lot of the planning, and the tournament. Just he's mostly like the tournament structure guy.
Okay,
I believe so. He wasn't on the marketing side. Like, Kevin was all on the marketing side and stuff.
Sure.
But he's left Blizzard now. I think we'll find out what he's going to be doing soon. I think he told me he'll probably announce something soon. But yeah, so they kind of lost a good person there.
You know how we were spending a while talking about how it would be so dumb of Nintendo to not allow them to have Smash Bros. At Evo?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the reason it would be dumb, right, is because you're removing exposure from your game, from a huge event, and you're making a lot of people who really enjoy seeing that content not be able to see it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing for Blizzard, where They had the situation where we have all these commentators, we have all these players, we have all these people who could be focusing entirely on this content for us, and we're just not going to help them do it. So, like Nintendo did nothing, or like they tried to stop it. Blizzard didn't try to stop it; they just didn't do anything when they could have used the opportunity to like say, "Hey, we want this exposure, you know, do something with it." And I feel like that would have been a really good move, especially because the way Twitch was working, like, what was it like? A ridiculous percentage of the streamers was StarCraft.
Yep. That's so true. I mean, it's not like they can't do... I mean, they can still do that. I mean, it's not like these personalities have moved on. I mean, they're still there. Day 9's still in StarCraft. I mean, Husky's still...
Yeah, but the problem is that on a market like this that moves as quickly as it does, you can't wait for somebody else to figure it out and then try to hop on afterwards. Like, that's like when Heroes of New Earth waited until they were dead with 30,000 concurrent players to finally switch to free-to-play, you know? Like, way too late at that point. Way too fucking late at that point. There's something special about being the person who's positioned in that initial growth spurt and being able to capitalize on all of that initial growth that you just can't... You can't capture that kind of the market again. Like, it's not going to happen again unless they do something incredibly innovative or invigorating again, which I don't see happening. But, like, I don't know. Like, Blizzard... fucked up a little bit.
Well, the market is just bigger in general now, so you know, the piece of the pie that StarCraft has hasn't changed that. I mean, the amount of money or the amount of viewers that they have right now isn't that much different than it was before.
It is, it's, though. It is.
Percentage-wise, it is, by you know, a long shot. But don't you think the raw numbers are still
The raw numbers are still okay. But...
I mean, what were the highs, like, Sean, like, or Seth, back in the, like, 2 years ago? I mean, we never got crazy, like, 150,000. We've never gotten that.
No, but the problem was that everybody was investing money under the opportunity that it was going to become much, much, much higher. Like, go listen to any old Sundance interview when he talks about how MLG is doing and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, the problem was, post-2011, at the end of 2011, was everybody was expecting in 2012 that we would see, like, 200,000, 250,000, 300,000 concurrent viewers on MLG streams for StarCraft 2. Like, that's where everybody thought, or even more, that's where everybody thought it was heading. That's why you had all these companies like IPL open up, that's why you had all these teams opening up, that's why you had all these team houses opening up, you know, the ministry one I went to, all these other things, all these projects going on, organizations like IPL and everything. All of these things were founded on the idea that the explosive growth that we kind of saw in 2011 would carry over into 2012 and it would continue to be exponential. When that growth didn't happen, that's when you started to see all the teams shut down, all the Slayers, and I don't even know, dude, how many teams shut down in 2012?
I think they just said was shutting down too.
Just now.
Like, all these teams, and then you saw, like, IGN, you know, Axe, IPL, all of these things started to happen because the explosive growth that we were investing for and hoping for in 2012 didn't come like we were hoping in 2011, you know? So even though, yeah, the viewership is kind of the same, the amount of price, the prize pool and the scale of events and the salaries that we get on teams are not really what we want. We don't want this audience. StarCraft 2 always wanted an audience at least like 4 to 5 times this, you know? So yeah, we still have the same viewership we do now, but that would kind of be like if in 3 years my son grew an inch, you know? And you were like, why is Nathan only like 2.5 feet tall? And it's like, well, he was like 2 feet tall like 2 years ago. And it's like, yeah, but you know, like, it's not what you're expecting, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. So, do you think... I mean, you're blaming a lot of what Blizzard did just within the game and that sort of thing. How much do you think is external factors, meaning a lot of things that we've been talking about recently with region locking and that sort of thing? I mean, how much of it is that are the players at the top of the game, the best players in the world at the game, are not in the U.S.?
I mean, there are things that you can do to foster USC, and, like, look what Riot's doing, man. All this shit with LCS and everything, Jesus. Have we talked? We haven't talked about it. They were able to go to the U.S. government, and they were able to get those Class B visas or whatever secured, so people could come over and drink for it.
Yep.
LCS teams are all fucking salaried and shit. League has... Why was League the first company... I hate bitching about Blizzard. Fuck. I feel like I do this too much. Or I used to a lot, but I haven't in a while. But, you know, like... why did League have all of their tournaments, every tournament, like, in their client, and it took Blizzard, you know? Now we're, like, really happy when we see, like, oh my god, it's so cool that Blizzard has it in their clients. Like, that's been standard for Riot. It's probably been standard for Valve, too. I don't play Dota 2.
Valve has the stream in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can actually jump into the game.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So, the idea that there are external factors that are forcing Blizzard to suck dick is a little bit disingenuous to insinuate that. I don't think that's true at all. I think it was all within Blizzard's control.
There was a moment when, like, Rich, who's just, like,
TL Rich,
tech guy or whatever, mm-hmm. and, like, you saw the TL growth graph go up, and then it just stopped growing as much, and, like, you know, normal people would be like, oh, it's just not growing as much, and Rich was like, no, it has to keep this certain graph, like, tendency, now it's gonna drop, and it'll just not keep growing, and it did. So, like, it was just that point where the growth just stopped for whatever reason.
Yeah.
At the rate needed to keep it going.
Yeah.
I see.
I wish Blizzard would have just did some fucking microtransactions or something. They needed to make more money on StarCraft 2. They needed to find a way to generate more money out of it so they could allocate the resources. When I talked to that Blizzard dude, I don't even know what his name was, basically every new topic that we brought up or that I talked to him about, every single thing ran into the brick wall of, well, we just don't have the finances allocated to do that, you know? Hopefully when Heart of the Storm comes out, like, we can pump through some things, but right now we just don't have enough engineers assigned to it. We don't have the resources. And then I'd always say, like, well, why is it the Valve or, you know, Riot is able to do it? It's like, well, look, they've got so many more people working for them, and they can allocate the resources, but we can't. And it's like, so, all right.
I mean, I don't necessarily know if, like, creating a different revenue channel would actually have fixed that or not. I mean,
I think so. Because a different revenue channel gives them more people that they can assign to the game to actually look after it, you know? Like, Riot has the perpetual incentive to release new champions, to make new skins, and to keep their game playable, because as soon as it's not, they lose all their money. With StarCraft 2, all you have to do is ship a product and you're done, you know? That's why we saw the whole plethora, the cornucopia of changes when Heart of the Swarm launched, because they had to push product out the door. But as soon as they push the product, they're done. They don't have anything else to market. They're not selling skins. They're not selling anything in-game. Like, their only concern is just shipping the initial product. You'll see a whole flurry of change come when Legacy of the Void comes too. You're going to see a bunch of new Battle.net features again, and then after that, they'll go back to not really changing much, except maybe patching the game in terms of balance, you know?
And it makes a little sense, too, considering that Blizzard was almost one of the pioneers with WoW and with their different mounts, and then even with Diablo, like, I'll give them that they had an okay trading idea with using the real money auction house and the other one. Like they've had the ability to take a whole bunch of money from people through these things, like, through these microtransactions, to give them a huge revenue. They just haven't created it with StarCraft for some reason.
I see. Yeah, that's true. I mean, the WoW team, I think, and the StarCraft team obviously were completely separate. Even though they're the same company, right?
Yeah. I mean, you should be able to look and be like, hey guys, how'd you do this awesome microtransaction stuff, and how can we apply this to our game so that we can keep putting forth these features that will make this game interesting and important to help people, you know, give us more money, keep the loop going.
True. So I guess, you know, obviously we can keep looking backwards, and you know, Steven could just, like, continue the same rhetoric he's had in the past. But looking forward now with it.
Real fast. There was a reason. I'm sorry. Initially, you had asked, do you still see this kind of animosity between the communities?
Yes.
And I thought you saw it a little bit when that thread came up. When instead of, like, League has visas for blah 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 players in the StarCraft community, I think the thread was literally titled, League of Legends has gotten visas for their players. Why hasn't this happened for StarCraft 2 yet, and what can we do to make it happen? And it's like, damn. I don't know. I felt like when I was reading through that thread, I felt like there was a little bit of the butthurts going on. Maybe not, though.
Well, I think, yes, I agree with that. There was some butthurt going on there, but it wasn't... I don't think it was animosity towards the League people. I think generally everybody was a little congratulatory of League getting, you know, making that happen, or Riot helping make that happen for the League folks. And, you know, we just wish we were in position to do that too, I think, for the StarCraft 2.
I mean, we are, though, if Blizzard would do it, but sorry, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean, though.
Yeah, so transitioning over to, you know, that segment, talking about just the League pros being recognized by the U.S. government as athletes, and thus the working visas would be much easier to get, you know, for a lot of these players.
It's a funny topic, too, because I know, or I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure that a lot of the WCS pros who, you know, want to play in the NA scene from Korea or you know, other things like that, maybe Korean scene to Europe are having troubles with visa issues. So yep. It's just a small irony there.
Yeah, that's true. So for League, so I'm just going to pose the question. Is it a good or bad thing? I think the good is obvious, right? Just that a lot of these players that are on teams that are from foreign countries are going to be able to come into the U.S. and, you know, live with their team for much longer and practice and, you know, participate in a lot of these events. What's the bad side of all this? Is there any bad side to all this?
I don't think so.
The public could.
I can't think of anything either, and I guess in terms of I don't think I can think of anything in terms of League for sure. I think in StarCraft 2 it could be bad. It could just exaggerate what, you know, an issue that we have currently with like WCS America.
I don't think it would change it much. I mean, I think give us one more season and it'll be something like 90% Korean. I mean, You're not going to change the linear progression too much by giving visas easier. I don't think.
Well, true. I guess it's already greatly Korean, but I mean, imagine if we had even more Koreans. I mean, imagine if everybody that was qualifying was, or playing at the qualifiers were just Koreans too. So, I mean, we'd literally be at 100% possibly. Anyways, yeah.
Hello, cats.
Europeans are doing pretty well in StarCraft 2 still, aren't they?
There's like three Koreans in their group, but yeah, they're doing really good against them.
Yeah.
The latency issue affects it a lot, though.
Sure.
That's true. That's definitely true. Well, okay. Well, I mean, again, it's pretty great for I think any of the pro gamers in any of the games to have the U.S. government, I think, categorize them as athletes. I know I saw Odie's, I think Odie posted something that was talking about it and how it's just, at least for his team, it was definitely going to help a ton, you know, with some of those players. What is that?
I don't know.
All right, we are animal watching on Unfiltered today. Okay, let's see. What's up next? So I had this topic because I remember you were saying, Steven, that you're going to try to get ready for the next season of LCS.
Yeah, maybe, hopefully, possibly.
And then I was talking to just some friends I have at like MOBAfire and stuff, and I wasn't following the MOBAfire Championship Series or Challenger Series much, but I took a look at it like recently and, you know, realized that this is like the perfect place for all the non-LCS teams, you know, to play in their Challenger Series, which is like a 10K type of league.
Sure.
Have you considered that as a...
No, I haven't seen it yet. I have the worst luck with 5 teams. Yeah, on the last 5s team, I have, like, there were, like, 2 people that had to work, like, so much, so we could never really play that much, and I'll try to do another one again.
What, try to do another team?
Yeah, it's really hard to find 5 people that can play all the time. It's really hard.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you had one. Shoot, I thought you had one set.
Yeah, we did, but it was really hard for people to play. There were, like, 2 people that had to work a lot, so...
Yeah. But, you know, the thing about MCS is I think the times I've seen their stream up, they get anywhere from 2 to 5K viewers while it's happening. And these are all, again, not the LCS teams. These are some of the Academy teams, like Curse's Academy team and maybe even Complexity's Academy team.
Sure.
So it's kind of cool that they have, you know, this type of, I guess you could call it like minor league, you know, farm or system there.
Yeah.
For teams to, you know, even play for $10,000. Do you think there's a market for that in StarCraft 2?
Definitely. It's a big market. I mean, like, the LCS is huge, but there's pretty much fuck all to do in between seasons, or during a season if you're not in LCS. So, yeah, there's a big market there to try to capture that amateur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the non-LCS teams. So, yeah, definitely, they could get it going. I mean, that'd be good. I haven't looked into it yet because I don't have a 5s team. But...
Yeah, what do you think, Chef?
No, I agree. I wish, like, yeah. I think there's obviously... Like, people like storylines, people... Even if you're not going to get the huge amount of numbers, like, we can go back to EVO. EVO proves that, you know, small-ish... Well, EVO's not small, but small games, even. So, this game's much bigger. Small events for that sort of thing can still be really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just gotta do it.
It kind of sounds like MLG's trying to do something like that, right? With the whole smaller events around the nation instead of only doing giant championships. So I definitely agree with you there. I mean, I think the numbers could be pretty great if just done correctly.
I will say MLG has a long history of saying, you know, we want to do a bunch of grassroots things. And by far, you know, in America, they're great for it. They're the best, you know, corporation helping grow NA. But every event, they also fly over, like, 20 Koreans that are obviously going to win the tournaments. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and that kind of started up. I mean, that started up when they...
Started up when I started going to MLGs.
Yeah.
It was very sad. It was, like, the one MLG I go to. Before that, it's all foreigners, and the one I go to, it's like...
Who was
just
going to
invite Koreans.
Who were the first Koreans to come?
Like MVP? Was he one of the first?
I'm sure he was one of them. MMA came over. MMA won the first one that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it might have been MMA. I kind of remember that. Obviously, it was the GSL folks. I mean, or the ESF folks first. And
yeah,
then
sure.
The Kespa guys later. But, yeah. And that's... Yeah, that was a pretty critical moment in terms of, I think, StarCraft II in here in NA in America. But you know, we've seen smaller events that have Koreans also in it, but not just that many Koreans or top Koreans like the Lone Star Clash that have done decently, like in the past, with, you know, 20,000 to 30,000. So I mean, I think we could still pull that off, even with just... imagine if we had all North American players in a tournament, like Huck and Scarlet and Shep, like if you were playing again, and just all the big names. I mean, what kind of viewership do you think we could get?
I mean, isn't that kind of what Total Biscuit tried to do?
It was online, though. You know what I mean? It was
still... I mean, even though it was an online one, it still got a ton of viewers. Plus, I know it had a lot of problems early on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Soul Biscuit's internet was down for, like, half of the tournament or something.
Yeah.
It's
true. And I think that the viewership numbers were somewhere in the 20s, I think. It was
maybe
in the teens and the 20s, something like that. So, yeah, it could definitely have been better. But I think there's something about a live event, too. With all of you guys there too, just getting to see you guys on camera and see you guys interact and things like that draws a lot more viewers too.
Sure.
Okay. Man, we're just blowing through these again.
Damn, dude.
Okay, let's go to. All right, Steam Summer Sale. You guys been checking out any of the games that Steam's offering right now?
Love
no.
You.
I've heard a lot about them, but, I mean, fuck, we're busy playing League, dude.
God, you bastards. Well, the viewers, maybe the viewers can help then. So, what viewers, I kind of wanted to get your opinion as to what games you think are worth getting, because, I mean, looking at the summer deals, there's so many games, and I just don't know which ones. You know, I don't have
Dust,
time to
get
play
Dust, check out Dust, check out Dust. It's a cool game, fun game.
Which one? Dave's?
Dust. D-U-S-T.
Oh.
Oh, is that the thing that's going to merge with EVE?
No.
Is that Dust 514 or something?
No. Wait a minute. That's the little side-scroller game.
Okay. Oh, Dust, right here. Oh, Ellison's Tale. Oh, no, that's
hey.
The game. Right, let's see.
Get
this.
It. Grab it. Bye.
When the land of Elysium was given form, four elements
Microsoft
were
game?
Crafted from the ether.
No, Microsoft Studios. It's made by, like,
water,
one guy, though.
A cloud
who did, like, all the artwork and the programming.
Forth. Cleansing the world of its corruption.
I tried out Cube World. That was pretty
from
fun.
Wind and
which one?
It's called Cube World. It's not on Steam, though.
Oh, okay.
That's the only little game I've messed around with.
Dude, my... Blurred.
My cousin just got a million subscribers on YouTube, like, 2 days ago.
Your cousin?
Yeah, dude. So happy for him.
Who's your cousin?
Etho? Yeah, Etho's Lab. He's like a Minecraft player.
Oh, is he? Wow. Man, a million subs is... That's impressive, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you played Dust?
No pressure or anything.
Or,
yeah, I think I did.
Is it on Steam?
Yeah, it's on Steam.
It's on Steam.
Buy it. Looks pretty cool. It's an MMO?
No. It's just like a little 2D side-scroller, like Metroid or Mega Man.
For the
oh, okay.
Journey ahead.
Gotcha.
Who are you? Merely a friend with many wares for sale.
Shall we conduct business?
Okay, looks pretty cool. That's a candidate right there. That's $7.49 right now. That's so cheap.
Nice.
Crazy cheap. Let's see what. Have you guys played Terraria?
Nope.
I've heard of it. I've seen it played before. It's like a two-dimensional Minecraft,
yeah,
almost.
Exactly. It's like $2.49, cool. Super cheap. Dishonored's $10. Never played that. Let's see what else is there. That's. I'm looking at $10 and under. Where's that $10 and under button I saw yesterday? Skyrim's $35. Let me see. Not free to play. I don't want to go free to play. God, where was I looking? That had the different prices and stuff. Or the different... So there it is. There it is. Okay, here we go. Under $10. Sorry, let's look at this. So, Max Payne 3. I haven't heard much on that. Crysis 2. Okay, Portal 2. Did you guys play the Portal games?
No.
I haven't finished the first one.
I finished the first one, but mostly only been watching people play the second one. Deus Ex. I've never played the
Deus Ex was a cool game.
Did you finish it?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. How long did it take you to finish?
A few days, 3 or 4 days.
Okay, that's not too bad. Maybe I get that too. Let's see, Amnesia's $4. God, there's so many. DMC is $7.49. Devil May Cry. Torchlight. Oh, I heard a lot about Torchlight.
I started to play it. I guess it's like Diablo 3, I guess.
Yeah.
Couldn't get into it myself.
The first one I remember was fun. I played the first one quite a bit. Diablo coming out on the console soon. Did you see that?
The what is?
No comments.
Diablo.
Oh. Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to me, but whatever.
Makes perfect sense, man. Gotta get that money, man.
Guess so. But, like, why do you have developers who are working on that?
Why the fuck does my webcam keep being...
Why do you have the what? I don't know. What'd you say, Sean?
Why do you have the people working on porting over Diablo 3 to Xbox? Like, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be worth the money that they spent to make it. Like, I don't feel there's a market for, like, a year and a half old game?
Yeah.
That's going to be transferred over that's, like, already been beaten and, like, it didn't come off to, like, great reviews, you know?
Yeah, no, I
agree. They chose that one to port over, but whatever.
I mean, I think they'll get some new users, right? Just because there's a lot of console... I mean, I walk into GameStop, these people don't even know what Diablo is. You know, they only know console. So
maybe.
They'll expose some folks to that, but... Yeah, I agree. It's an old game, though. Well, Borderlands 2 is $20. That's not that great.
Do either of you know if they even have PvP in Diablo 3 yet? Like, it was promised at launch, and it was promised, like, a week after launch, and then just never enabled, ever, as far as I know.
I haven't heard anything about it.
And they made this huge deal out of it at Christmas. Like, Christmas is a huge PvP announcement, and the Christmas PvP announcement was just... We scrapped PvP. Like, they hyped the announcement of like, "Hey guys, we don't know."
Instead of like, "Oh, we're gonna have PvP," it's like we're going to get rid of it. Oh, that's the bastards, man. Okay, so I think I'll try out Dust and.
Cube Worlds.
Which one?
Cube Worlds.
Cube World.
Cube World.
Oh, Cube World. Where's that? I don't see that.
It's not on Steam.
Oh. Cube World, okay.
Sorry.
Is it free to play?
No.
Damn.
What the fuck, man?
Dude.
It's like $15, and it'll get more expensive because it's an alpha now. So it's like, if you buy it now, you get it cheap.
It's an alpha and it's $15? Wow, okay.
It's not really an alpha, though. Like, it's like a full game, as far as I've played it and seen it. It's pretty cool.
Huh. Okay, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, see what any of the people in the chat's recommending. Oh, Witcher. The original Witcher. I never played the original Witcher. Witcher 2 is about to be out, right?
I read the books. I think Witcher 2 has been out.
Oh, it's been out?
Not sure.
So many games, man. Sleeping Dogs, too. Yeah, Sleeping Dogs. My goodness. I was, so I had Jimmy Wizenhunt casting with me over the weekend, and he told me he spent like $150 in the Steam store.
Nice.
Buying a ton of games, so.
Nice.
Good stuff. Scribblenauts. Oh, man, my kids love Scribblenauts. Oh my god, I've spent so much money on Scribblenauts. It's because of them wanting to buy stuff. It's crazy. Well, okay. Well, I think we're going to probably go into questions from you guys. If you want to post your questions in the Reddit thread, let me link it to you here. Where is it? Show me how it up. Crap. Okay, here's the Reddit thread. And I think our chat's still down in Twitch, right? Yeah. God. Okay, let me...
No, I think the chat on Twitch was up.
Is it up now?
Yeah, okay, I think we read
it
now.
Okay. I think it would have pulled it, so that it would come back. It's still down for me, using Chrome.
Really?
Yeah, what browser are you using?
Chrome.
Uh-oh, what's this link, dude?
Oh, it's still down for me too. No, it's up for me.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, but like that's the sort of customization you can do in Cube World that I think is cool. You can just make your character look like whatever you want to.
Nice. Yeah, here's what we're talking about.
Try loading the chat in incognito mode.
Wait, log out, you mean?
No, just load it in on incognito mode. Open an incognito tab and try to load it.
Yeah, that does something to help it, I think.
Where's incognito mode?
Right click on your browser where it says new window, do new incognito window.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, that seems to. Yeah, it seems to be working now. Cool. Good deal. Do I not have you. As a mod?
Me?
Sean? No, Sean.
It shows up later.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Maybe.
Alright, so let's take a look at these questions. I sorted them by new, so we'll start at the bottom. Lots of questions. Good stuff, as always. Alright, Chef. If you could be any musician from history, who would it be?
Probably Beethoven. I actually like
Beethoven
quite a bit. Yeah.
So being deaf would be okay?
Yeah.
He was only deaf later on in life, bro.
Yeah, I know, but still. It was... What age did he go deaf? It was... Didn't he go deaf as a teenager?
Don't know.
Like that? Yeah.
No, it was like later. He only composed like one symphony when he was deaf.
Oh, I thought he did more when he was deaf. I didn't realize.
How about you guys? Who would you guys be?
Oh, wow.
I want to be Keith motherfucking Jarrett, piano player.
Let's see.
Like
that. Keith. That's a tough one.
What about Cher? How do you feel about Cher, bro?
About that. Probably. I don't know. I think probably Steve Ray Vaughan.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah, I just barely missed. Man, I went to school. Maybe 2 or 3 years after he died, when he was playing like every single week in Austin. So he was playing in clubs that I went to like all the time when I was in school.
Did you ever see him?
No, I never did because I went to school.
Oh, he was
like
dead.
I said, I just missed him. If I was like 2 or 3 years younger, I probably would have seen him.
Dude.
Let's see.
You ever think he died to get away from me?
You're so stupid. Fucking A. Let's see. Mew is whatever, mischief. Are coaches in SE2 really qualified? For instance, in many popular sports, they have trained, specialized people to aid nutrition, mental, and physical health, fitness, and so on. It seems to me that often the actual coaches are the least qualified of the entire bunch, but at least they have usually completed some program to allow them to become an accredited coach.
Okay.
Okay. SC2 coaches have zero credential. It often seems that they just keep random players around to help coach when they are retired as a player.
Chef can correct me if I'm wrong, but all the coaches do in SC2 teams is like drive players to and from events and then like make sure that people are like awake and playing. That's pretty much all they do. In my limited experience, more or less, that's all I've seen.
What?
I was like...
Is that manager?
I mean, that's all it really is, as far as I know.
Yeah, like, the coaches... Like, people have this idea that StarCraft 2 coaches, like, keep up with every player, find his weak matchups, help him find people to play against, like, give him reps and replays and shit to assist him, and, like, get him to watch VODs and help him prep for matches. But my experience, like, even on Korean teams, coaches just drive players, like, to and from events to make sure, like, people are awake and playing and shit. Like, that's it.
Like, there are so few coaches that have, like, a really, really solid enough game knowledge that they can, like, instruct someone in their play. Like, I think Nazgul's, like, one of the few people who will spend time and, like, watch replays from players. But even then, his advice is, like, it's not like you're not getting a tremendous amount of advice per, like, matchup. You'll just get, like, once a month where he'll be like, would this be better? And the player will be like, maybe. I'll test it out. And then that's a really good coach, in my opinion, if not, like, the best coach.
So that's what Coach Lee does? I mean, everybody always talks about Coach Lee.
I have no idea what Coach Lee does, but...
Yeah, I don't know what Coach Lee does.
I doubt he does.
Yeah, it might have been different for Kespa and Bird War.
I don't know. Kespa, yeah, probably different. But I don't know.
Okay, so I guess the question is, then, what should a coach be, in y'all's eyes?
I don't know, like, what I said earlier would be nice. Like, people that would, like... Know your weak points, find people for you to practice with, match you up against strategies that you have trouble with, find you VODs or relevant games that contain a strategy that you're either practicing or practicing against.
Okay. So my other show, Pro Corner, right, one of the co-hosts is this guy, Robert Yip. I'm not sure, Sean, you know Robert or not, because he works with some of the Liquid players. Do you know Robert?
The name is really, really familiar, and I probably do, but I'm really, really bad at memory.
Yeah, he works really closely with Dario, and I know he's working with Rhett, yeah. And he is a sports psychologist, and he tries to, you know, when he's giving Dario a plan, or when they're working together on a plan, it has to do a lot with nutrition and mental and all those things too. In fact, it's probably everything outside of the game.
Sure.
How valuable do you think that sort of coaching is?
Pretty valuable, but it needs the... You have to be playing a lot, too, for it to be worth anything.
I don't know... I can't think of a player who's really using a coach. Like, I know most of the top players, and I know, like, none of them, like, will use an in-game coach. Like, could you imagine Nanua, like, having a coach? Like, Hydra having a coach? It doesn't really work in my head.
Yeah, the problem is that when you get into coaches, the implementation of a coach, the idea behind a coach is somebody who will research and figure out all of these tried and true methods to become good at something. That's what a coach does. If you think of a baseball coach or a basketball coach or a football coach or a soccer or American football, whatever, all of these coaches are building upon literally thousands of years of experience when it comes to coaching. Literally thousands of years of because athletics have been around for so long. So it's kind of strange to think of a coach in esports where it's not as well established and the people don't necessarily have the credentials. Like, to coach in that area is a lot more gray. It's hard to imagine a coach being really good there when coaching in conventional sports, it builds off of so much, like, already known facts. Like if you want to become a good tennis player or you want to become a good basketball player, like, people know the drills that you need to be doing. People know the practice routine that you need to have. People know how you should be practicing for that. You know, in the esports world, all of that is still kind of up in the air. So it's really hard for, like, a legion of coaches to descend upon all the players to help people, you know, practice and study for shit, you know?
Yep. Esports isn't old enough by any means.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so you say that, but because it's in the state that it is, that you would think that if somebody introduced that concept to a single player, then wouldn't they have? I mean, and it somehow was able to be molded and would work. Wouldn't that player just have a huge advantage then?
Yeah, as long as he's willing to put in the hours, but I don't think anybody is really willing to put in the time to get to do that. Like, to be a good coach takes a lot of work. Like, you can't just come in and tell somebody to play. Like, people that are athletic coaches, those guys get... I don't think people realize, if you look at any university and you look and see who the top paid people are, it's the motherfucking coaches in the athletic department. Always, you know? If your university's athletic program is worth its shit in anything, the most well-paid people are always athletic coaches. Those guys get paid a lot of money because they do a lot of fucking work. Real coaching is not just... Like, real coaching for StarCraft 2 wouldn't just be like, hey, like, you look like you need trouble with cannon rushes. Like, I'll go find a dude to cannon rush you against over again. You know, like, a real coach would be somebody who's like, yo, like, you have a lot of fucking trouble splitting against banelings. Like, you always die to banelings. So I created this UMS game for you on 15 different maps that simulate, like, 10 different points in each game where you could be getting attacked by Marines, so you can practice splitting, or getting attacked by banelings, so you can practice splitting. And, like, all the player would do for, like, a week is play those, like, 15 UMS games across different maps, like, splitting Marines against banelings. That's all they would do. Like, drills like that is how you, if you want to get into, like, this hyper, like, super focused practice, like, that's the kind of shit that a coach would help you do. But those people don't really exist in esports yet because nobody understands it or nobody wants to, or, I don't know.
I'll not actually say, you know what? I think that there are actually a bunch of coaches, and I think they're really, really successful, and I think that's, like, the hidden reason why Koreans do really well, is that they all live in a team house, and they coach each other.
Because that's
the best coaching, is when you're playing with someone, like, 10 hours a day, and you sit with that one person and analyze why you're doing builds, how to improve your builds, and, like, that one-on-one, like, in-person, just irreplaceable.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true, too. I think you could introduce a coach, though, to make it even better. But, I mean, that's definitely true, though, where the Koreans do play with each other and help each other and practice a lot, so...
Yeah, I think, Stephen, you make a really good point, too, with the whole UMS example. And it's some of the things I was talking about in Pro Corner 2, is that having a guy that facilitates all these things for the players is definitely one of the roles of a coach. And, you know, planning all that. You know, whether it's like the coach has to go and find the people in the UMS community, map making community, right, to make these maps for them, or it's like coming up having an analytics tool developed, right, which is something actually me and Kevin are doing right now, is just these type of things, right, are some of the facilities that a coach should provide for the players, because the players they're mostly the executors, right? I mean, like the coach is there to help with the prep. And when it comes down to game time and tournament time, the players have to pull it off, right? And I think that they're, you know, because of what you said, I didn't realize it was at the point of which it was, where coaches literally are like managers, like glorified managers, I guess.
Yeah. When you think of an actual coach is somebody that might turn your stream on for like 2 hours a night and watch you. And be like, hey, like, I notice, like, every time you stream, like, I notice that you fuck, like, this thing up. Like, this is always, like, off. So, like, there are two or three other guys that I know that play Protoss at this level. And for the next week, like, you can play against them and practice out, like, one thing. Because you keep fucking up. Like, I notice that you fuck it up. And, like, the coach would give you, like, that kind of work. Even, like, even that would be, like, really nice to do.
How much of it do you think is an issue with just the players? Like, the players just don't respect anybody enough to allow for them to be put in that position? Like Nanny Wall,
I mean,
for instance,
it's
right?
Possible.
I mean, it would take,
I mean, no,
it would take somebody special for Nanny Wall to listen to in that regard.
I don't even.
I
think
mean,
that's
kind of, but rightfully so, though, because like they would have to be good. Like if a no-name shooter would have walked up to Nanny Wall and be like, "Dude, like do this," and it's like obviously Nanny.
Right.
But like, it's really hard to find a coach that's also like really good. Like if there was like an MC or not MC, I don't know. Like so if a really good Protoss player were to try to give tips to
Oz.
Nanny Wall, sure. I'm sure Nanny Moe would listen to him. Nanny Moe respects players that he thinks are really good players. But most coaches aren't that good at the game. Most coaches don't play the game that much, you know?
Well,
like, even Coach Lee or whatever, who's, like, the legendary guy, you know, lost to, what, Bubbles cannon rushing him twice or whatever? Not to say that he sucks or anything, but...
The coaching is a different thing. Like, oh, so, Chef, you were going to say something. I can think about...
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something before.
About Nanny Moe, I would just say, like, even in Idris' situation where, like, one of the reasons he got, like, kicked off was that he wasn't showing significant enough results with his coach or whatever. Like, I just don't think these organizations have a good coach. Like we've talked about you need to be a good player, and I don't think these organizations have either looked at actually paying that position.
Yeah.
Or just even went through the trouble of finding someone who would be a good fit in that position.
Yeah. And it's not even, you really don't have to be a good player, but if you're not a good player and you want to be a good coach, like, you gotta do your homework. You gotta do a lot of research. Because if you're not a good player and you want to know your shit as coaching, like, that's gonna be a lot of, like, watching and studying to understand games and shit.
Yeah.
Also, you can't just bring in, like, I'm not trying to knock anybody or insult anybody, especially if they're in this position, because I'm sure you know way more about it than I do, but I would be uncomfortable just bringing in an outside, like, you mentioned the Robert Fripp, I think. To bring in, like, an outside sports psychologist and expect that to just automatically work for StarCraft 2. Like, I think even that, like, you need somebody who's going to take the time, maybe if you have to pay him or whatever, but take the time to do the research to understand the actual game itself, you know?
Yeah, I don't think a single person can do it. I mean, it's going to be super rare to have a single person that has all those qualities. So it might actually take a team of people, like maybe two or three people. A good example is just with the Evil Genius team, the League of Legends team recently, right? Snoopy posted that thing last night that they're making changes, right? And one of the things is he's being benched or whatever, but they're bringing in N-Rated to be their analyst and their coach, right?
Sure.
I
remember actually one of the things when I was like at my height for StarCraft 2, when I was at CADS, when I'd be Bomber and Ace and Rain and everybody and Puzzle and shit, I was actually going off of like a quasi coach system where I was having like a couple of fans help me a lot with stuff like that. And every day when I would finish streaming, I would have like 4 to 6 emails with people like, dude, like, remember when you said this thing about CBZ, like, you should check out this, or you should look at this, or you should check out this. I was actually having a lot of people. That's where I got a lot of the refinement out of my investor builds, was people giving me different information on different timings and different things to look at and stuff like that. It would be cool to actually like pay people doing that. But I remember actually doing that a lot. When I was doing my best in StarCraft 2.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's a tough situation. Again, it's a tough situation, and it's like really cool that you were open to doing that, Steven. Like, I mean, were these players GM players or?
No, they were just people that watched my stream. But they watched my stream a lot, so they knew. It's kind of like the perfect coach would be somebody that watched your stream a lot, right? So they knew, like, the things that I individually had trouble with, or they knew the things that I wanted to improve on, that I wanted to change, and they knew my playstyle. So I guess in a way, they were probably the people who were best suited to give me, you know, different advice or tips or tricks and shit like that.
I will say, though, that the average advice is not so good.
Oh, yeah, no. These were definitely... for every good email I got an atrocious email. I wish I would have said some of those. I got some really funny, bad... I got some guy who had refined a build for, like, walking a queen across the map and rushing lair so that you could drop a creep on an enemy expo and, like, rush, like, you know, like... Yeah, I mean, I got crazy, crazy shit like that, too, but...
So one thing I haven't really seen much of lately, and I used to think was really, really great, is when I would see a group of friends, you know, just you were included, Sean, there were multiple teams, too. And you guys would get together, and you guys would have... It was like stream practice. It was like all you guys had their streams up, and you guys were just obsing or playing, right? It was like a group of 5 or 6 of you guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was great because, like, the guys that were watching, you guys would just ask each other questions like, oh, what do you think about that? Or what do you think about that? And you guys were exchanging ideas. I thought those were great, and...
Those can be good, but they could also be a huge waste of time. In order for stuff like that to be beneficial, everybody who's there has to be on the mindset that we're all here to actually play games and to actually talk about the games and work towards improving and stuff, you know? I'm sure, Chef, I'm sure that you've seen the good and the bad, where you've had, like, 5 people rotating out, like, in these games, and you do get a lot of good talk and a lot of good ideas, but then you also have, sometimes more often than not, it turns into kind of a big where everybody's kind of screwing around and just messing around and shit, right?
Yeah, for sure. You see, do it King of the Hill style, and can either be a good time for you, or you can lose a game and then wait for 2 hours, and you could definitely find better, you know, worth for your time. But
what do you think of just the general concept of a collective group of people, whether it's NA? Because one thing I saw at MLG, which was really cool, is when Suppy was playing, he was playing Pult at the time. And I think he lost the first game, and then he won the second game, whatever. But each time, after every game, he'd come out of the booth, and he'd walk up to the railing, and then there would just be, like, this collective kind of NA group of players, whether it was like, Zenith, Cider, and...
Are you saying that Suppy cheated in between games?
No, I'm just saying, like, it was cool that we had these...
Confirmed cheating? Really?
Wasn't
Why
didn't cheating.
You make this part of the headline?
It was not cheating, but, like, you know, you had Sasquatch, you know, all those, just a bunch of guys, right? Kane and all those guys, just that kind of the collective NA... Up just NA young players rooting for him, You know, they weren't even on the same team, but you had these guys that I'm sure practice together. Like, I know Suppy and Sasquatch and Scarlet and all those guys, they practice all the time together. And, I mean, what do you think? Do you think that sort of, you know, collective group would be good, or do you think it's necessary right now, like, given, I don't know, the environment?
I think it would be. I think it's always good. It's always good to have people who have an external frame of reference to give you advice or tips, because you can miss stuff that's right in front of your face sometimes, especially in high-pressure situations, I think.
Yeah. All right, well, that was a long answer to a question. One question. Okay, if you had a time machine, you could go back in time to any random place in the past few millennia, how would you conquer the world?
Can I take shit back with me? Like, what...
Okay, sure, why not?
Do you only have your one lifetime, too?
Oh my god. Jeez. It'd be hard to conquer the world in one lifetime.
Well, not really, if you can take any piece of technology back with you. And
yeah, that's definitely true.
Like what? Like nuclear technology? Like what? I mean, exactly.
Gun? Body armor?
What
Some sort of electricity? I don't know.
Yeah. You'd still be a huge issue, though.
If you were to load your telephone with a bunch of apps and bring some extra batteries with you, you could probably take over the world by going from tribe to tribe, convincing people you were a god, and then showing them, like, you're a god technology or some shit.
Yeah, but you don't have any towers. Like, how is your phone going to work?
You just show them... First of all, seeing the phone itself is going to be a mind fuck. Seeing a little piece of manufactured whatever, turning it on would be a mind fuck. Manipulating the screen would be a mind fuck. Like...
But actually conquering the world, though? Like,
all right,
I mean, I
figured it out.
Okay, all right, what is it?
Just going back to the beginning when there's, like, one other person, and then I'll shoot him, and then I've conquered the world. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, if the world is the population, that's pretty true. Okay, that's a good answer. It's a very good answer.
Actually, fuck, yeah, that's true, too. You could go back with, like, get vaccinated for the flu, and then take the virus back with you, and then
kill
just, like,
everybody.
Fucking like people. Yeah, they fucked with you.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You sick bastards. Let's see. Haven't got a question. Okay, so Risky says, haven't got a question, just wanted to tell Shet that on behalf of the SC2 community, we would love to see him casting almost as much as him playing in situations that he can't play competitively due to his wrists. Thanks.
Cool. There might be some time in the future.
Yeah. What do you think about the growth of LoL, and do you think LoL will ever die out, or when will you think LoL will decline in popularity?
I don't know, when something bigger and better comes along, if that happens. Or if LoL gets really stagnant and old, if they stop adding champs or game modes or something, I don't know.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens when Dota comes out. Dota 2 also. That's going to be
It's already launched, actually.
Yeah, it's launched. So once the esports scene just... You know, more and more events are happening besides the few that we see right now. Do you think esports has what it takes to actually stay major? No, it's good to see. Do you think it'll have a negative impact on society? The fact that it's getting popular. People will spend more time playing, and some may even want to achieve a career and whatever than focusing on education, and have a negative impact. This might actually fall into the U.S. government section.
What? I mean, people already fuck themselves out of school for high school sports. Like, I don't see how esports would be anything.
Yeah, I think it's... I don't know. It won't have a negative impact. I can't see that. That's weird.
Actually, if anything, I think it would be a positive impact. I think that you have kids that get really fucking good at sports in high school and end up going on to be, like, an NBA player or, like, to get scholarships in college for it. Mm-hmm. Well, if you were really fucking good at video games from high school, you'd get shit for that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that could achieve more, I think. A lot of people that are passionate about video games that end up with, you know, a job that they hate, right? And they could actually have an avenue for their avenue to make a living with their passion. Okay, here we go. Strap on the seatbelts. How do you feel about the Trayvon Martin media coverage and verdict? Was it overhyped by the media?
I'll give this to you guys, because I have no idea.
I don't give a fuck about any of this shit. I don't want to... I think we should focus on, like, the NSA shit seems kind of important, you know?
Agreed.
This is, like, such a non-consequential story to anything. Some fucking Hispanic dude made a poor decision to follow some little black kid. The black kid made a dumb decision to attack the Hispanic kid. if everything is as the story reports, Hispanic guy shot the black dude to defend himself, it's like kind of cut and dry. Prosecution didn't really have a case for anything, and like whatever, but it's done. Like I said, like we move on from it. There's not really much to talk about. There's no substance. There's no wide range implications.
Like, I guess they're asking, like, his last question is, what are your thoughts on the media intentionally misdirecting the public using straw man issues like racism, gun control, and self-defense?
I mean, the media always does that.
Yeah.
Because the media tells us what we want to hear, because people are stupid in general. That's why the League community and the StarCraft community will always fight with each other, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, we're full circle.
All right, nice and short. What do you think is the best fighting game and why? Well, maybe just what's your favorite type? A Super Street Fighter type or something like Smash Brothers? What are the pros and cons about their styles? I don't know that much about all the games. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know shit.
I mean, I've always played Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter. But Smash Brothers, I've only played a little bit.
When I was a wee kid, Smash Brothers was the best. Stick with thoughts.
Okay, thoughts on Esports U. You know what that is?
The Esports Universe website or some shit?
Yeah, it's, well, go to esportsu.com.
I saw that. It's
Artosis' site.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know. What's the point?
It's kind of an interesting title, given that it's only StarCraft 2, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe they're planning on getting more. I don't know. So, for those of you who don't know what Esports U is, it Artosis, and I think it might be, is it just Artosis? It might be the Tumba and those guys too. I started this website that's supposed to be focused on all about just educating people on how to play StarCraft. So a lot of educational videos, I think some guides, analysis of matches, and that sort of thing.
Awesome.
Yeah. And the only catch here is that to join it, I think you have to pay like a subscription fee.
What?
Yeah, I believe so.
Like, wait, for what? What's the point?
Yeah, it's a $5 per month subscription fee.
$5 for what? What do you get?
The videos and the guides.
You get the videos and the guides. It's kind of like what EG used to do with... God,
there are tons of things like this in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I just can't see him keeping up with all this if it's just him. Like, he's so busy.
Yeah, I'm actually really surprised he's kept up with his one show.
Meta.
Yeah.
I told you, it's because what's his name does almost there. I mean, a lot of it for him. I mean, Artosis probably just comes up with the topics and.
Oh, got it.
You know, it's kind of like your job here.
Whoa!
Let's see. Okay, next question. You guys should play Kerbal Space Program.
I've heard about that, but I have no idea what
the
fuck it is.
See who can get to the MUN first. I've never heard of that.
No either.
What League of Fighters approved? Wasn't League of Fighters approved by Riot? League is now going to take over the FGC as well?
No one can make the claim that it's going to take over anything yet. We have to see how the game is. But I've seen League of Fighters.
It's actually a Riot game?
I don't think it's a Riot game, but it uses Riot characters in like a fighting game.
Oh. If it's not a Riot game, then lawsuits can come in.
Well, if they say they approved it, then no.
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts on this? So, Crazy S Sid, what are your thoughts on this as Nintendo's marketing strategy, sacrificing the hardcore fans who will support the game anyways for appealing to a wider audience?
Wait, who's sacrificing the hardcore
actually,
fans?
No, I kind of skipped this whole background here.
Oh, boy.
Let's see. I follow Smash Brothers scene somewhat closely, so I have some understanding of why I think Nintendo would want to stop the streaming of Smash Brothers, Super Smash Brothers Melee. In fact, they tried to make Evo cancel the event altogether. In the past, they stopped MLG from streaming Super Smash Bros. Brawl. I don't think they've ever actually given an official reasoning, but it's pretty well understood among the Smash community that their reason is that they don't want their game to be seen as competitive, because that might make the games more intimidating for people to buy. Like, they don't want their games to be seen as competitive, but rather casual. I mean, okay, kind of get the gist of it, right? Like, do you think it's actually a negative to be considered?
No, that's fucking retarded. No. Only a Japanese person could be stupid enough to think that that's actually
true. Come on, man.
There's no way. That's no way, man.
Troll post is my assumption.
It's a pretty serious long troll post, though. Why do you flame on Blizzard so much and not Riot? Riot isn't any better. There are massive bugs in LoL, which are known for over half of a year and still not fixed. We have no replays in LoL, a shitty launcher with many problems, power creeping in the newest champions, still no new maps. All Riot really cares for is new skins and making money out of that. I don't get why you would flame Blizzard 24/7 and defend Riot in the same sentence. It just doesn't make sense. From Acer1791.
There are things that Riot can do better. I'm not saying there's not. Obviously, the client fucking sucks balls. They need to fix that. Occasionally, they've got lag problems with the servers, which means Chef have been dealing with the past couple of days.
Yay, lag!
A new map would be nice. The power creep idea
may have been... They just came up with a new map, the ARAM map.
Yeah, well, kind of. But, I mean, just because that... Like, there are some things that I didn't like about my dad growing up, but that doesn't mean that I'm about to start sucking off Hitler, because I have a few problems with my dad, you know? Like, just because there are some things that Riot can do better doesn't mean that Blizzard gets a free pass and all the shit they fucked up, you know?
Yeah. True. Question, outside of watching traditional Twitch streams, like watching Pro Ladder, or People Ladder Answer, or watching talk shows like this, watching MLG and DreamHack LCS, what else do you like to watch on Twitch?
Nothing.
Is there anything else on Twitch that's not, like...
I look for girl streams, and then I can go on and I can be like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, oh my god, it's Destiny, and I feel really cool.
Nice. Chess Network.
Oh, and fucking Jerry, hell yeah! If Jerry's on, we'll watch Chess Network.
Chess Network is on Twitch?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's awesome.
Good deal, good deal. Destiny, how'd you get your name, Destiny? From Worse Allen.
Well, when I found Worse Allen's mom, she was a stripper, and her name was Destiny. So. I don't know, dude. I just thought of it when I was, like, 9, and it stuck.
What? Curious to know the panel's thoughts on Blops 2 pulling in more...
Black Ops.
Oh, Black Ops. Black Ops 2 pulling in more concurrence than SC2 during Anaheim.
I don't think they did.
No, they didn't. It was close. It was close to even, but that was about 10,000, I think, difference.
I don't know. What about it? Black Ops is
a popular title. It's great. I mean, it's great for Black Ops. I mean, what can you say? I mean,
congrats. We're jealous of LoL still.
It's not like StarCraft 2 came down or anything, guys. It's just Black Ops 2 just did really well. Jeez, guys. Doesn't Destiny decide to play a new role? And how can he expect to do well in LCS in a role he dislikes playing? You don't like playing
AD? I hate AD carry, but I hate everything. Really, it's not as bad when you're playing ranked fives. I just don't like AD as much as solo queue.
I see. Okay, so Steven Sheth and Chaman, two questions. If you would have any sponsorships you wanted, who would you pick? And what sponsorships are realistic right now? I mean,
I would like Southwest and Delta Airlines because they have the most money.
I want Awkwafina and some sort of steak company, and then I have my entire food and water paid for.
That's good. That's good.
Plus, I can eat healthy at events and bring water in without like security stopping me. This is my sponsored water.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yo, who makes the Tesla? I want that shit.
Tesla.
Tesla company? I want that. I want to be sponsored by them. They can give me one of those cars. Oh, that would be fucking badass, dude.
Which ones? The sports cars or the regular ones?
The sedans. Either one. Aren't the regular ones like insane?
Well, they have sedans, right? And they have
They're sedans. Aren't they like really good?
Well, yeah, they are. But the sports cars pretty badass too, man. It's got good range now.
Holy
too.
Shit! Wait, do they use gas at all?
Tesla? No. They're all electric.
Completely?
Yeah. They're supposed to be completely electric.
Cool. Dude, I saw the interior one of those, dude. Oh my god. The LCD. Have you seen the inside, what the dash looks like on a Tesla car?
Yeah.
Nope.
With the enormous...
LED? The
LCD?
The LCD, I mean. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Have you seen it, Chef?
No. If you have it, link it. I'll check it out.
Yeah, dude. Oh my fucking god. I would jizz every time I get into my fucking car. That's how sick this is, dude.
I saw it at CES. It's pretty awesome.
Even the display is all an LCD too. None of that is
Is it like touchscreenable?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all touchscreen. This is the kind of shit that Steven was saying we can hack into. Yeah, it's all LCD. Yeah,
how much is that sort of car though? Super expensive?
I want to say the low end was like 50 to 80, wasn't it?
I don't know how much the sedans are. I know the sports cars like 200 or something like that.
Well, obviously, but
yeah. I think the sedan, is it really that expensive, the sedan? Let me see. Tesla.
I think they're pretty expensive. It couldn't be lower than 30,000.
Oh, it's not 30,000. Yeah, I mean even the sedans look pretty nice. I mean, there's like the sports car. Let me see. There's one that looks like a Ferrari, and then there's one that's more Aston Martin, like more of a Aston Martin looking car. Let me see. Okay, so the Model S. All right, how much is this bad boy? Does it even say? Order. Let's order it.
You just about have enough money from this.
JMNV ordering it.
This show today.
Yeah, exactly. That's how much monies we make here. Model S Performance. All right, let's go. $100,000 a month.
I've heard that these get cock-blocked a lot in different states. They're trying to make it illegal to sell this car because of the way that they sell directly from the manufacturer. It cuts out a lot of the middlemen, and people are lobbying against that because they don't enjoy losing those profits, you know?
Well, of course. I mean, we got to know how much money.
I think that this was voted, like, wasn't this voted Car of the Year, like, last year? A lot of
people.
It
got some award.
I think so.
A lot of people are really happy with the way. I want to read more about this car, but I don't want to trap myself into thinking that I need to buy it, especially because I've almost got mine paid off, but that's really fucking cool.
Okay, so there's two guys. There's a Model X and a Model S. The Model X is like a hatchback.
Yeah, probably before. Oh, hey, here, check this.
It's reserved. Dude, the Model S has a range of 265 miles. That's awesome, man. I thought
it
only had 200. On battery.
Is it that's just on battery? Mm-hmm. I wonder how much it costs to charge it.
Well, I mean, you just charge it at home with your regular. I mean, it has some type of transformer or something. That you
Yeah, sure, but I mean, I wonder how much electric, because you have to pay for that, you know? Like, we're big boys, right? Our parents don't pay the utilities.
Yeah, but it's a million times cheaper than gas. Come on.
I mean, I'm sure it's cheaper. I'm just curious, like, how much. But that's pretty impressive, though, 200 miles on the battery. You could literally drive that to and from work, like, every day of the week, and you'd have to charge it, what, twice a month, maybe?
Yeah, dude, it's not much different than a normal, just a regular non-hybrid car. I mean, a pretty good hybrid car would get you about 300 on 10 gallons.
Yeah, but this is a fucking Tesla, bro.
I know, that's what I mean. This is like pure electric, 265. That's pretty darn, that's awesome. That is awesome. I thought it was only 200, but 265 is huge, man. That's
good top speed on it, too.
Yeah. 0 to 60 in 4.2. That's pretty good.
That's on the Performance Edition, though.
Yeah, okay, true. New car for Destiny. I feel a chip in starting.
Yeah.
Kickstarter. Get us cars.
Kickstarter.
My next chip in.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. What's next up? I didn't answer that sponsor question. God, I don't know. What do I? Is there something I do every day?
What about, like, sponsored by ramen?
That's kind of... I do eat ramen. I mean, just like the nicer ramen. I do eat it pretty often, honestly. Just because I'm lazy about cooking, just whatever. Just cooking other things. I usually have just use it as the filler. Such a bad filler, too. I don't know. It'd probably be travel. It'd probably be something similar to Southwest. I think having your especially when I have like 3 kids, it's so expensive to travel now. That having that paid for would be completely awesome, and not to mention that would be awesome for esports too. A sponsor like that, anything. What sponsorships are realistic right now? I mean, anything's realistic, right? It just depends on the numbers.
eBay and Papa John's.
Yeah, eBay, Papa John's. I mean, given some of the numbers that we see at these events, I mean, I don't know. I think they should be rivaling some of the. I mean, it's not like the Super Bowl, you know, or anything like that, but it rivals some of the big events that we, or decent-sized events that we see around entertainment standard, or what we know as mainstream entertainment. Okay, Destiny, have you decided what game you will play through next?
Yeah, it's going to be Crysis 3 or Bioshock. Or not Bioshock, Crysis 3. I finished that Metro game because the bullshit updated. The yeah, drivers were updated for NVIDIA.
Metro, like 2034 or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, Chaiko, will you play World of Tanks?
Maybe some.
Have you guys played World of Tanks?
No.
I played it one time.
I've heard it's really boring.
It's fun, like, the first game you play.
I mean, I've heard that it's, like, really deep. It just depends. If it's not your kind of game, then you won't hate it. But, I mean, it seems like it would be interesting if you're into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a very mathematical game.
Yeah.
Okay, hi, Sheth. From JamesSX88, I have noticed that it is nearly impossible to get in contact with player personalities in the esports world. It's typically just a bunch of ignored emails or a ton of cold shoulder treatments. In an industry that needs as much exposure as ours does, why do you think that is? For example, we have tried to contact you as well as some SE2 events my group Tampa Esports holds in Florida, and as usual, we couldn't get a reply. I'm genuinely curious, not trying to call you out. Hope you're doing well.
I read your post. I can't make it to Tampa then. Like, it was just, do you want to go to this event in Tampa? And, like, instead of me responding and being no, I just chose not to respond.
Chef, why wouldn't you respond and tell him no? Why are you giving him the cold shoulder, bro?
I don't know. You just get enough messages that, like, at least players are reading it. Like, I'm sorry I didn't, like, no one's going to respond. Like, I try and respond to most, so completely my bad. I'm really sorry I didn't, apply to you in that sense. I do feel like if you message someone on TL, it's a really good way to get a hold of them if they're, active in that sort of situation. But if you have, if the guy you're talking to is going to say yes, they'll respond to you really, really easily, and if they're going to say no, a lot of times, like, a silent treatment is a no. I'll just put it that way.
Damn, that's fucked.
Yeah, I can vouch. Well, at least I know me and Chef talked about the Tampa event, I think last week. So,
yeah.
Hey, if you want to invite me, I'll go if you want to pay for it.
How'd you drive your ass from Virginia, man?
Not that far.
It's just like 15 hours, maybe. Yeah, something like that.
I listened to All About the Housing Crisis on my drive down. I had two big things on economics that I listened to on my way.
Like spillover?
Spillover? Oh no, just like the idea of everything that happened with the housing crisis and whatnot.
Thought you were going to talk about trickle-down economics again.
Oh, no. Yeah. But I've actually been inspired now as a result of the housing crisis. So what I'm going to start doing is once my subscriber network gets big enough, I'm going to package all of those subscriptions up. Hopefully I get like 1,000 subscriptions. I'm going to package them up and I'm going to sell subscription-backed securities to Wall Street.
Oh, God.
So that I can get money on my money, right? That sounds like an ingenious idea.
It's brilliant.
Build a destiny bubble.
Oh boy.
Let's see. Would Destiny ever coach an all girls LOL team? Would you just coach what was that team? What was the girls team? It was
Kitchen Bandits. Only if we all had to live in the same house, then I would be on that shit.
What?
What?
You have to live in a... Oh, God.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Why did you have to if you guys can get a house together, all girls, so it's a sorority house together, basically, and...
It's a gaming house, man.
Yeah, sorry, not a gaming house. A gaming house with just girls, Destiny would move in?
Right. You want some real talk? We're about to get real as fuck, okay? We're entering the sexist zone. I would never want to work with an organization of females. I would kill myself before subjecting myself to the horrible ways that females work together. That answer is like super fucking sexist. I'm sorry that it is, but dude, no, fuck that. I spent too much time working with women in the restaurant business, and I've seen the way that women work together in the esports business. I would not want to be in the middle or at the head of anything having to do with a collection of women. No offense, but like that's just me for me personally right now.
You're not a siren.
Yeah, I'm not a siren.
Man. Okay, all you girls out there, I know you're disappointed.
They all agree with me. if you go read anything about the Siren House, like, oh my fucking god, like, some of the complaints that they had about the shit was going on there. I mean, like, it's pretty standard that shit kind of happens. Whether it's because of because men are sexist or whatever, like, I don't know, women have a very hard time working together with groups of other women. It turns into, like, this really nasty, competitive, cutthroat, bitch kind of, ugh, I don't know, it's just really,
Oh, man, wow.
Yeah, no, it's really not a healthy environment.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right, Thought Thinker asks, what can the fans do to help Destiny get into another competitive league team so he can win MLG/LCS?
I don't think there's anything the fans can do. It's just stuff that I have to do.
But you gave an example of what, you know, a few fans were doing for you in SV2. Is there anything that folks can do like that similar to that?
I don't know, not really.
Probably watch your stream.
Yeah, well, that's true. Oh, okay, so how about two more? Psycho Gakito asked, if you could design a unit in SE2, what would you make?
The Defiler. I don't know.
I was going to say I'd bring back the Ultralisk. I hate the new Ultralisk.
The old Ultralisk?
Yeah, dude, it was like this little small thing that just couldn't die.
Yeah.
It was so awesome.
The size could be changed easily, too.
What about the Warhound? It could be like this mech for Terra that works against everything.
How did that get through for so long? And then why did they just remove it completely?
Jeez, man.
You know it's bad when they completely remove something. Not even tweak it. Just completely take it out. It's crazy. Instead, now we send all bets. But...
it's just the Goliath copycat.
Yeah, it is.
Let's bring back the Goliath, only buff it, and then we'll just completely remove it again. Boy.
Yeah, that's true. What would I make? I'm trying to be creative about it. I don't know. What is some kind of cool... I mean, we already have pools. I mean, what it's like, it'd have to be a completely new concept, right? I can't think of anything right now. It would take a lot of thought. I know what I would take out. I'd take out Force Field for sure.
Damn.
Okay, one more. Let's see. Let's do a refresh to see what we got. Roll the dice.
Somebody should make a StarCraft UMS where you can build League of Legends champions. I want to run around with like 15 Dravens, like attack. Yeah.
15 Dravens.
They can stim.
Hell yeah, dude.
That'd be pretty nasty. Okay, last one. God, he's like a thought thinker asking people doubling up. Okay, so actually, Destiny Sucked My Dick asks, or Destiny Sucked My Dick asks, what do you think will happen to the SE2 scene after Legacy of the Void comes out? Do you think Blizzard will make an SE3 or just stop with the series?
I have no idea, man.
I think there's a lot more stuff that they'll do before Legacy of the Void's release.
I feel like we'd be in change for like a Warcraft 4 first, no?
Oh yeah, Warcraft 4 would... they alternate, right? It's kind of where... it kind of goes, what, StarCraft 2, or StarCraft, Diablo, then Warcraft. Pretty much.
Sure.
But I think All Stars is going to come out, and then who knows, something else might be coming out. But I don't know. I don't think they'll stop the series. The series, I mean, the brand is just strong. Whatever happened to that StarCraft WoW, you know, like MMO that they are StarCraft themed MMO they were talking about a long time ago, too. I don't know what happened to that project.
They actually announced a release date for that.
What, recently?
Yeah.
Was it Titan? What's Titan? I forget what...
No. It was supposed to be coming out 2 weeks after StarCraft Ghost.
He got you pretty good, Shenron.
He did. He definitely got me.
Really good.
Well, alright guys, thanks for all the questions. I think we're going to wrap up the show.
I'm sorry. Real talk, that StarCraft MMORPG you're talking about, I'm pretty sure that was just a really big UMS game that was being worked on. I don't think Blizzard officially worked on that.
Same.
Oh, really? Okay.
No.
I mean, I know StarCraft Universe is in the UMS, but...
oh, dude, you didn't even know that? Oh my god. What the fuck, Chan, man? That's almost as bad as when you didn't know that the IPL crew was working for Blizzard. Well, come on, dude. Shit together.
Whatever.
Get your shit together.
That's your ass there, man. But okay, guys, gonna wrap up. Liquid Chat, always pleasure having you on and hanging out and getting your thoughts on all these great things.
Thanks, I got to repeat. It was just
that's right. That's
just
a first.
Lovely being here. I like first. It. Thank you so much.
It's the first ever on any of my shows, so.
What's the first ever?
Thank you so
a
much.
A repeat gets.
I've been here multiple times.
Oh my gosh, you're a fucking co-host. You
nah, it's man. First time ever.
Fucking
give it to me.
Oh, fuck
that's
you,
that's right. Sheth will always have that designation. Do you want to do any shout-outs or thank yous or anything like that?
Just thank you guys for watching, thank you guys for listening, and thank, of course, you, Steven, and Chenman for hanging out and letting me be here.
Yay. Steven.
Shout out to Phoenix. Hold on, check this out.
Okay.
What is it? What do we got?
Getting prepared. He always ends with something big, man. Always ends with a whole new topic.
Can we get some soon TM on this?
Soon. Oh
really?
Wow, that's kinda
some
cool.
Chats?
All right, let's look at this. Alright, look at this. Are we announcing a new keyboard here?
Yeah, it's coming soon.
Oh, that's nice. It's pretty clean looking, man.
I hope that top right thing, I hope that it lights up nice and white like the mouse does. Should. It has to, right?
Do the actual keys light up too? I mean, there are LED light underneath each?
I don't know. I doubt it.
It's kind of hard to see black letters, though, right? I mean,
I don't know. Maybe there are no letters, because it's like for people who actually know how to use a keyboard.
Oh, I forget to announce something, too.
What?
So, do you guys play Type Racer?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
What was it?
Okay, Type Racer. Have you ever played Type Racer?
Yeah,
probably not.
Okay. So, I've been asked a million fucking times, if I'm the Chan Man that's on Type Racer. Because, I mean, I don't know how many times I've been asked, like, man, how do you type so fast and shit like that? So, what I ended up doing, guys, is I ended up making a typing mobile app really quick that I released last night. That's almost exactly like Type Racer, just for you guys. Just in honor of my clone, my bizarro brother, Chanman X, or whatever his name is, on Type Racer. So check that out. It's on Google Play. You can play around with it. Simple app. I just
thought it was fun. How would you do a mobile app? So you like speed type on your cell phone?
Yeah. Just no other typing apps. And that's just, it was just more for this. Just kind of funny.
Okay.
Funny thing. So check out what your words per minute are and compare it to your Facebook friends and all that stuff. So check it out. But other than that, just want a big thanks to Sean and Steven for coming on the show. All you viewers for checking it out. The VOD for the show will be up on youtube.com/ChanManV. If you missed Superstar Strikers, all that stuff, all the VODs are there too. Tomorrow will be Wednesday Night Sprites, which I didn't play any of the... We didn't have a break today. Shit, I didn't play any of the commercials. Had a Carbot commercial already, too. Shoot, we're going to have to do that next time. But check that out. I think we're going to have Snix on again. So, yeah. And,
well, why is she never on this show?
What, you want Sue to come on this show? She can come on the show.
She's hot as fuck, man. What the fuck?
Dude, she can ghetto talk. The best of them. We were doing trash talks at the beginning of Superstar Strikers, and, dude, she was talking about cutting people.
Damn,
she's,
dude.
Yeah, yeah. So
I used to ghetto talk, but then every time I do, people email my sponsors and shit, so I try to tone it back a little bit.
That's true. Let's see what else. Thursday, we got Climbing the Ladder. Gonna have Ken Silva on, who is... I'm gonna have him explain it, but he is doing something with StatDrive and has the inside information on what StatDrive is and all that good stuff. It's been kind of a couple weeks coming, but it's going to finally happen this Thursday. So,
what is StatDrive?
StatDrive, remember that site that I showed you that one week where it was like for platinum?
Got it. I understand.
Remember that the diamond,
yep.
Platinum, silver, then the whole crazy prize money.
Okay.
So he's going to explain all that stuff on the show and talk about some other things he's doing. He's doing some cool stuff with a lot of the big organizations in esports. But that's going to be it. So for Liquid Chef, Destiny, and Champion V, that's going to be it for Unfiltered. We'll see you later. Peace.
Have fun and pieces.